the shifts that I've seen is it's going from a very hard leadership style that's autocratic decision making, where all the decisions are made at the top, mm-hmm. to more of a soft style of leadership. It's more around building trust, creating empathy, and it's coming from a completely different perspective.
This is the Delivery Space podcast. Whether you're interested in software delivery, business change, or transformation, we have some great content lined up for you. We launch into different areas of project delivery and bring you insights and experiences that you won't get from a book. I'm Nisha, and this is our episode on shifting from old leadership styles to new. I have a very special guest joining us today, Sheetal Thacker. Hello, Sheetal. How are you?
Hi, Nisha. It's great to be here. I'm good. Very well, thank you.
Would you be able to talk us through your background and give our listeners a bit of an introduction to yourself?
I'm Sheetal, and I've been an agile coach for as long as I can remember, actually. But if I were to really put some numbers against it, I would say I probably was unofficially doing agile back in 2009 and officially doing it back in, I don't know, maybe 2013, 14. I saw the values of it, so I never have looked back. And if anything, today what I'm doing is sharing all the trials and tribulations from all the companies that I've worked for to really kind of help upskill other coaches, other scrum masters, just kind of get what I've learned out there in many different ways. That's me in a nutshell.
To set the scene for our audience, describe the shift that you've seen occurring in leadership styles and what the main drivers are for the change that you see happening.
I have this firm belief that, and I've seen the two different worlds, and they're starting to collide a bit, if I'm honest. But I think the shifts that I've seen is it's going from a very hard leadership style that's autocratic decision making, where everything's just all the decisions are made at the top, mm-hmm. to more of a soft style of leadership. So my take is that it's more around building trust, creating empathy, and it's coming from a completely different perspective in comparison to the hard style of leadership. So you're now going from more the autocratic approach to the more collaborative approach, and where you're more engaged and you're taking part a bit more rather than staying in the ivory tower, so to speak.
And I've seen that change happen. There is starting to be that shift, and also shift in expectation of others and teams that we work with, that it will always be the C-suite that will set the strategy for the projects, the programs, the products that we're working on. Then it will be HR coming in and measuring us against how we're doing against certain objectives that are set. It sets the leadership apart from the teams that are actually doing the work. And that's one of those misconceptions and walls that I see that's being broken down, like kind of a shift away from the very drive, industrial revolution, formulaic, let's get the output out of the factory sort of route.
It's still about, but I think the shift there has been, it's no longer outputs, it's outcomes, experiences, and change and disruption to some degree as well. But doing it in a way where everyone's involved, everyone's excited, and everyone's kind of got their own part to play in that delivery. It does take a different kind of mindset. So there are mindset shifts that also are happening, but also need to happen as well for people who are coming into leadership roles. It's a completely different way of thinking today, for sure.
Do you think that's a challenge for some leaders that you come across? Or do you feel like there are leaders that are shifting to that style quicker than others?
The old hard leaders do still exist. That style of leadership still exists, the autocratic, the ones that want the control, they want to have all the authority. There's a kind of a personal agenda there to some degree as well. Like, I want to be seen as the best leader out there, and the only way to do it is make sure that my teams deliver. And, you know, I have to literally crack the whip for that to happen. Mm. Whereas I think there's another understanding for the soft leader. This shift is still happening. It's still not fully there yet, but I think these specific leaders are probably taking on mentors maybe, or coaches to help them along their journey to really get a crystal clear idea of what it's really going to take to bring their visions to life. So not only are they setting the vision, but they're also maybe working with coaches to set that vision, but also gain the trust of their people as well. And getting that help that they need to coordinate the way in which their vision is going to come to life. That comes hand in hand with the idea that these coaches will help realize that you need to be a lot more humbling, a lot more inclusive, a lot more empathetic. There's a real shift here where leaderships need to listen a bit more. They need to hear the voices of their people and understand that by listening and acting upon those, they're actually going to lead to more successful outcomes as well. So I think there's a level of openness and ready to be open that needs to really exist for these new leaders to really come into the forefront, really.
Something that you touched on really resonated with me. The empathy, the compassion, the listening, it all leads to some really key information from teams, right? It's that level of motivation. You start clicking, things start falling into place as leaders, even as agile coaches. When we go into organizations, you see, this is what motivates my team. This is the type of interaction they need with the wider organization. This is what they're really asking for, because it's not just the fat salaries, the training and development paths that are attracting people. They want to have that sense of purpose for what they're doing. And you know, I'm happy to share this. There are delivery teams that I've worked with over time and I've seen changes in behavior. There are delivery teams that I've worked with that have said, just give me a piece of work to do. I want to know the spec and I'm going to go and execute against that. Anything else, don't really care about. And those were years ago. So lately, I'm getting to work with teams, not even lately, over the past, say, 5 to 7 years, with teams who are actually questioning, working hand in hand with their product owners, wanting to know, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I building what I'm building? I want to know a purpose behind it. I want to know how we're going to measure and how we're going to get better.
Absolutely. And it's that engagement, isn't it? What I found good, solid leaders today in this world, they're dealing with so many different levels of competition and movement in the industries. There's so much happening and it's happening really fast to the point that there's a huge level of uncertainty out there in the market and in their industries as well. Shifts are happening. People are coming in and, you know, other companies are disrupting what they're currently doing. So it's almost like they need to find a way to be able to think big. And the only way to think big is to actually have more thinkers in your team. Be more inclusive with your team so that they can also help you think and help you drive the success that you're looking for as well. So it's no longer relying on just that one individual to know everything. It's not possible anymore. I think today it's almost impossible to have all the answers. And this is where you engage with your team because they're your experts at the end of the day, right? So you're hiring these people because they know something that you might not. And if you just open up and listen to their ideas, so share your vision and think about what ideas might be coming, what might be going on in your team's mind and your people's minds when you're sharing that vision, more often than not, what's likely to be happening is that they're going, I know exactly how we can make this work. And they'll start thinking from their level of expertise and that point of view to say how possible this is, how fast can we deliver this? When you're engaging your teams to share that vision, what you're also doing is you're building a sense of purpose within the unit that you're working with. And I think by having that sense of purpose, this is a knock-on effect that the soft leadership has, which is if I listen to you, if I show empathy, if I give you my trust to deliver, if I listen and hear your ideas and find ways to execute them and give you the tools and the applications and the platform, the environment you need to make this happen, guess what? You're already a step ahead of the other competition who may not be acting in this way, because you've now got a tribe of people who are on your side. They've got this sudden sense of purpose, haven't they? And that's increasing levels of productivity. Automatically, you'll get that increase. You'll see that increase because people are now coming into work with a sense of purpose and they know exactly what they've got to deliver. That's the secret sauce, really, is getting that clarity, knowing what we're doing, and also being able to contribute to it as well.
In an environment like that, psychological safety plays a big part. Like, leaders carry a presence, right? Whether they like it or not, they're in that role and they usually carry a presence. So for them to be mindful and cognizant of what they're actually bringing to the table, checking their state, making sure they're in the right frame of mind. That's their responsibility, right? Showing up with the right mindset in front of your teams. But then there's also that creation of that psychological safety, because you want people to be creative. You want them to be engaged. You want them to do the hard thinking. You also want them to feel supported. That none of that can be achieved in an environment where they're thinking, do you know what? I could say something silly or foolish, or I need to watch what I say in a particular environment. I feel like I may be judged. I've seen leaders on both sides, right, of that, where teams are kind of scared to open up versus those teams are, like you described, the environment. It's a buzz to enter that environment. Leaders are not shy of fielding questions. And in fact, they actually open up discussions with their teams to say, there's no silly question. If you're not sure about something, better to ask. Always better to ask for help. You will never be looked down upon once you do that. What have you seen in environments where there's that true psychological safety, and how's it worked?
I've been in a team where the key lead has been very open to what I would call constructive criticism. Tell me what I'm doing wrong and I'm going to do something about it. And being able to see someone ask, what is it I'm doing wrong and what can I do to be better, to support you better? You're empowering your people. You're getting a voice. They're getting a voice, and you're getting that psychological safety, exactly like what you're saying. It's creating that safe environment to say, I'm going to speak my mind. It builds a level of respect almost as well. So, you know, when people are speaking their mind, they're not being rude or disruptive, or, you know, they want to be heard. They're going to share how they feel. They're going to share what they need to share. If it's received in an empathetic way and it's done in a safe space, and you know that you're not going to be escalated or, you know, reprimanded for that, you're actually, what you're doing is you're opening up a place for innovation, a place for creativity, to be able to say, I don't have all the answers as a leader. I think that's a big thing. It's like, guys, we're here in it together. I love it when they say the only question that's a bad question is the one that you don't ask. I think when you've got that psychological safety, if you created it successfully, then what you've got in return is you've got loyalty from your people. They feel happy coming into work. So there's that retention of people. Then you've also got the voices being shared. So people have all shared and they're open with each other. You start to build a bit more of a level of trust with each other as well. Because you know that you're going to be able to say things and it's not going to smack you in the face again in the future. It's not going to be held against you. It's all absorbing information that's focused on delivering great things. And innovation, you actually become a disruptor yourself as a team when you're actually, you've got that space for creativity, you've got that space to think, you've got that space to put ideas forward, and you've got that space to test and learn from the ideas that you're putting forward. And you've got that space to even being able to just go out and speak to your customers. Like, that's really helpful. That's a way to innovate as well. And you're listening to your customers. It doesn't matter what they're saying. It may sound silly, it may not sound silly, but you're absorbing it. And that's the key here, to absorb as much information as possible and allow that space to absorb such information, and then do fun things with it. Go out there, experiment. And as a soft leader, you're going to understand that these things take time, and you're going to give people that time and space they need to go and be creative and to go away and innovate and create a product better than what might have been in their minds.
When you meet leaders like this, it's so easy to take for granted these amazing abilities but attributes that they have. I've heard you use this title a few times on this recording, and you've mentioned a soft leader. I know exactly what you mean. To me, these are essential skills to have. But for our audience, can you define exactly what you mean when you say soft leader?
Let's step back and talk about the hard leader first. The hard leader, the words that come to mind when we think about a hard leader: command and control, autocratic, only one that makes the decisions, you know, the buck stops there, the budget holders, you know, to some degree, the people that do throw their toys out the pram when things don't go their way. Mm-hmm. That's the hard leader. Not in its entirety, of course. I'm just giving little buzzwords here that would associate with such a leader style. I'm not saying everyone's like that, of course. But then you've got the opposite. You've got the soft one who takes a bit more of an empathetic approach to their individuals. The characteristics of a soft leader would be someone who would let people know that they're here, they're approachable. It's an open door policy. You can come and talk to us anytime. You can put your ideas forward and it won't be ridiculed. It will be considered. So voices will be considered. As a leader, we would listen to you and hear what you've got to say. And then also mentor you and guide you if we need to as well. A soft leader actually encourages building leaders in other individuals early on in their careers because they've got that trust. A soft leader doesn't necessarily let go completely. Of course, that wouldn't work, but helps drive initiatives in a bit more of an understanding way, a kinder way almost. A bit more of a, I'm going to come in with an open mind and we're going to travel this journey together. I'm not going to leave you to it and just hope for the best or scream at you when things don't work or find out why deadlines haven't met. I'm going to try and understand you every step of the way and I will support you every step of the way. That to me is an idea of what a soft leader would look like.
I'm so glad you drew the distinction because there is a misconception around those soft skills being almost like a pushover aspect of a character when they're actually not. They are those skills that are absolutely essential within leaders. And I believe it's getting more and more recognition these days because let's face it, our millennial generation, who we do want to encourage, who we really do want to get that creativity out of within our teams, are those that will look for those types of skills. And that's the talent you want to retain within organizations, right?
If we just step outside of the work world for a second and let's put ourselves in amongst a friend's environment. So let's just say we've got a group of friends. You've got one group of friends who are absolutely awful to be around because all they do is complain. And then you've got the other friends who are just so fun loving and is always out there up for a laugh and encouraging each other and, you know, sort of sharing their ambitions with you. And the other ones are just complaining about other people. Where would you rather be?
It's a social thing as well.
And it's the same in the work environment. Where would you rather be as an employee? I would much rather be in a world where I feel understood. I feel heard. I feel like I've got a contribution to make and I'm contributing actively. I'm making a difference. I'm not being told off for X, Y, and Z. I'm not being monitored. I'm not being micromanaged. I'm being respected. I'm more likely to go and work in an environment like that than in a world where I'm having to look over my shoulders all the time. Don't want to have to do that. You know, I'm having to report in all the time everything I'm doing, right down to the nth detail. There's no trust there. And what you want is you want to be in a world where you are trusted and you can have more open, honest conversations with your leadership directly. You've got that comfort in knowing that that person is supporting you and the rest of your team. And what automatically comes into play there is that you've got the support of each other as well. There's a synergy that gets created, I think.
A bit more of a critical mass, right? When you're wanting to infuse that positivity. So you're creating that critical mass within organizations where there is a lot of flux, there is a lot of change. Mm-hmm. We're entering a period of economic uncertainty, especially now. There's a lot of layoffs, there's a lot of reorgs happening. And you have to be sensitive to the fact that, you know, the teams are going through or will be going through quite a lot, even in their home lives. Absolutely. But to have those essential skills is vital. And also receiving that balance between trust and control. So just because you're a leader with those essential soft skills, it doesn't mean that you've taken your eye off the ball. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to let things slide when it comes to objectives or bad behavior or anything like that. Anti-patterns that you might be seeing within your scrum teams, for example. You know what to look out for. I remember years ago, and we weren't even using Agile. It was my first program that I was working on. Our leader, our program director at that time, set a really lovely example for me. I was overwhelmed. I was that single point of failure within the program leading it. There was no, obviously there was my program director, but you know, you can understand like how many work streams were involved, how many contact points there were, etc. So I got to that point where I was really, really overwhelmed. And he didn't judge me, but he stayed till very late to help me organize my thinking, get out of that funk where I'd found myself in overwhelm, organize my thinking, and at least understand that I had a place to go in terms of him and his advice, and that I was able to kind of put my anxiety to one side whilst I created a plan to crawl myself out of that area of funk I found myself in. And looking at people like that and recalling how they've helped us out gives us a really good reference for how we want to show up for others.
And there's one thing you mentioned there as well about being on the ball. If anything, yeah, when you're interacting with your teams more frequently and you're talking to them more frequently and you're not just sitting there and just delegating and then just hoping for the best, you're actually a lot more on the ball that way. You're always going to be on top of things this way around. Because you're getting that constant feedback, aren't you? You know every step of the way where the challenges are, and you're being part of helping find those solutions to those challenges as well. That's not to say that a soft leader is not always necessarily able to be there for everybody, but it's to infuse a type of culture in the team that is supportive, empathetic, and leading as well. So it's giving people the autonomy to lead and innovate and create great products or services and do it in a way where they know they are trusted. So they don't always necessarily need the leadership to stay as part of the team, but you know, they can stay. Obviously it's not a hands-on role, but it's just making sure that people have got the comfort in knowing that that person's still accessible.
Absolutely. Accessible, approachable. Yeah. And also, like, they've set a frame for the expected behaviors within the team. So people feel like it's okay to reach out to others to help them out. They don't have to think about, right, do you know what? I just need to get my work over the line for this sprint, for example. I really don't need to worry about others. They'll sort themselves out. But there's more of a team, a big sense of team and a big sense of team achievement. Let's all get stuff over the line, right?
Yeah.
There's another thing that you said earlier in it. I can't now remember exactly what it was, but it sparked off a thought in me around leaders working with teams, listening to teams. But actually, if they're doing their job right, there should be teams disagreeing, but in the best and the most comfortable way as well, to find the right solutions in a healthy way. So to promote that, even to say, you know, don't be scared of having disagreements within teams, because we want to get to the best ideas. Figure out, again, a frame within which you're going to feel free to disagree, how you're going to do it, how you're going to bring it up. And I don't see that done enough, because it's done. Someone's nose is perhaps put out of joint, or, you know, someone feels bad because they're spoken to in a certain way. And we don't tend to handle disagreements or conflicts in a good way. And to have that frame, not to overmanage and not to regulate emotion too much, because emotion's healthy to a certain degree, right, within our workplace. But to be able to channel it in such a way that the team feels, do you know what? That's a damn good conversation we have. That's got us to a better place.
It's almost like opening up the idea that, okay, guys, we're going to have a debate about something. Let's debate it. And let's realize that, let's understand that none of this is going to be about personalities or think, let's not make it personal. Let's focus on the work. And let's debate the work. Right. And I think if we shift focus from making it personal to making it just about delivering what we're going to deliver and be passionate, inject that passion into it, what you're also doing is not only are you creating that psychologically safe space, you're improving mental health to some degree, because you're removing that personal aspect a little bit and saying, right, okay, I know that I said this and no one's going to take that personally, because it's not about them. It's about the work. It's about making sure that we're all working together. And that team cohesion should bring that level of understanding to say, we're all in it together. It's not that I'm going to fight for you because I need to go get my bonus or nothing like that. It's more, this is a team. We're going to work as a team, and we can open up debates and we can have challenging conversations. But as long as we focus on outcomes, shift the focus to outcomes rather than putting the focus on, oh, he said this or she said that. That doesn't work. It's kind of, it's safe space, but also having that better mental health to be able to sort of like tackle things, because you know, it's not going to be a personal attack in any way.
Yeah.
And it's that knowing that security in your mind that this is not, I could say what I want and I know that my team trusts me. I know that my leadership is not going to have a go at me. So it means I can challenge the status quo in a way that's safe. That's a big thing.
Can you share some takeaways that you'd love our listeners to leave with at the end of this episode?
Focus on building great relationships with the people that you work with. Try not to take things personally, because at the end of the day, we're all in it together and we're all in it to win it, most likely. If at any point you are struggling with something, find a way to speak to somebody about it and try and find a way to resolve it and nip it in the bud sooner rather than later. If I go back in time a little bit, a long, long time ago, I was at the receiving end of being bullied, and that was not very nice at all. From that point, I just want to sort of share that if at any point you don't feel happy about something, say something about it. Speak to someone who you feel you can trust and try to nip it in the bud as fast as you can, because you don't want it to escalate. You don't want to cry before coming into the office because you don't want to be there. And if that is the case, I would definitely say move. If that is the case, if you're not happy, then find a way to be happy, because you spend a lot of time with your work colleagues in your life. And so as a result of that, you've got to find ways to really be happy in your work world as well.
Thank you for your vulnerability and your bravery, for sharing your personal experiences just then. Please come back and record another amazing episode with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Nisha.
If people want to work with you, get a hold of you, tap into a bit more of that wisdom that you have, how can they communicate with you? Tell us.
I'm quite easy to find on LinkedIn, so just do a search, and I accept pretty much most connections, actually. So happy to chat on LinkedIn as well. So if you've got questions, you can always just message me on there.
Thank you, Shital. We'll put some key contact information in the post as well, so that you don't miss out on updates and awesome episodes and speakers like Shital. Please make sure that you subscribe and you follow us on all our social media platforms. Bye for now.